Was the content of the indictments what you expected, or did you think there would be different or other charges?
Well, my feeling was that I didn't think that the house in Girdwood was going to be the subject of any indictment. I thought it was going to be, if there was something, it would be more tied into wrongdoing and perhaps overreaching by people connected with former Senate staffers and former Senate President Ben Stevens, Ted's son, related to fisheries matters. I'll say this, that the indictment is very thorough, very professional, and certainly while Ted's innocent until proven guilty, it's very, very damning.
Do you think there could be other charges, or would they have released them all at the same time?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that there certainly could be others that have to do with other investigations that I mentioned some potential, and you know, I really don't know. But I mean, this came out of the District of Columbia, and you know, it's certainly possible that they could be proceeding with others, you know, based on other facts.
When you read through the indictments, what stood out to you as the most compelling evidence or aspects of the case against him?
Well, the most compelling aspects of the case is the detail, and it's not just Bill Allen's statements about things. It's the detail with regard to other individuals involved, and you know, communication by email and phone, and just the detail from basically 2000 or 1999 through 2007, detailing, as the government alleges, receiving in-kind payments in excess of $250,000.
How do you think investigators got some of this information that's laid out there? Do you think Bill Allen was cooperating with the FBI far enough back to have been recording or feeding audio of some of his conversations with Stevens during this Girdwood project?
No, I don't. I mean, I'm certainly not, you know, that far back. Bill Allen wasn't. But the fact is that I think that the way the public integrity section and the FBI and the Internal Revenue Service pieced this together, they just, they spent time with Bill Allen. They got leads from Bill Allen and information from Bill Allen, and then I feel confirmed that by hard evidence, and I think it's a very, very detailed it's a very, very detailed indictment. And then, you know, what they, other than count one, it all has to do with false statements. Counts two through seven deal specifically with misstatements or misrepresentations or failure to make proper entries in legislative reporting, Senate reporting documents with regard to financial transactions that occurred in specific years, and they go through it in minute detail.
There's no question that Senator Stevens is a powerful political figure. How serious do you think the outcome of these indictments will end up being?
Extremely, extremely serious. And, you know, and I really, really like Ted. And I think it's going to be very, very damning. The FBI and the Public Integrity Section of Maine Justice, and certainly supported by the IRS, would never bring this this indictment if they didn't think, you know, that they had just virtually overwhelming evidence against the senator. It's public integrity at Maine Justice takes matters against political figures extremely, extremely seriously. And Bob Mueller is the director of the FBI and the former head of the criminal division of the Maine Justice. Bob is the ultimate professional, and he knows what something like this can do to a political leader like Ted Stevens. And this is extremely, extremely damning. And, you know, part of this investigation, Lori, is took place, and the facts alleged when Ted was, in fact, the president pro tem of the Senate, you know, basically third in line for the presidency should something happen. And I stated, some time ago that with regard to the initial investigation and the legislature's, the raid of the legislative offices in August of 2006, almost 2 years ago, that I felt it was approved all the way up the chain. And that's because the FBI and the Department of Justice never like to get involved in political matters at all. And now this was brought, within months of the Republican primary, for U.S. Senate, and then within months of the general election in November, it is extremely, extremely. I think it's going to be extremely difficult for Ted to fight this indictment the way he should. To devote time to the Senate, which he absolutely should, and to attempt to campaign, in the primary. I think, quite frankly, it's pretty well locked, and I really don't think that that Ted is going to be. Able to be reelected.
When you say right up the chain, do you think the White House, President Bush, would have known about these indictments before they were released?
I don't know. President Bush doesn't know anything about the indictments at all. But I firmly believe that because of the uniqueness of the investigation, that I think that President, because it had to do with a president, the raid in August of 2006, went into Senate President Ben Stevens' office, and that's the son of the third person in line for the presidency. My feeling is that I feel that Bob Mueller, in the daily briefings, as the director of the FBI, in general, not specifically, briefed the president on the 2006 legislative raids before they occurred.
And what about Ben Stevens in all this? Do you expect now that there are indictments against his father that we'll see indictments against him soon?
Well, I don't know when they're going to come. My feeling in general, just from looking at the prior indictments and studying plea agreements and with Bill Allen and Rick Smith and the way things have gone down, yes, I fully expect that Ben Stevens is going to be indicted.
And does it strike you as odd that a person of power and wealth such as Senator Stevens and his wife, who is also a wealthy D.C. attorney, would risk so much over remodeling projects that if these charges are proven, they would certainly have known these were illegal exchanges? They could afford to do this work legitimately themselves. Why risk this?
I really cannot in any way, answer that. The thing that's so strange is why do people in position of power sometimes do certain things? And I guess the answer is because they think they're invincible or they think they're untouchable. I mean, it's not the same as this situation at all. But you look at the bizarre conduct of Bill Clinton. Look at the bizarre conduct of Elliot Spitzer. You know, it's nothing like what went on here, but it just is indicative that people of power somehow think that they can flaunt certain things and get away with certain things. When, you know, the rest of us look at this and we say, how can anybody be that outlandish? And your question about, you know, how could Ted possibly and his wife possibly allow this to occur, since they're both very, very experienced lawyers, and it should be obvious that there's certain guidelines you have to follow. And, you know, I really don't know. And it, quite frankly, it's just tragic. And I think that, quite frankly, all Alaska suffers today. I mean, I've got calls from people all over the place, and I've also received calls from people that are old-time Alaskans, who folks whose names you would recognize, and others that are just very devoted to Ted, and they've been getting calls from all over the country. And it is an extremely sad day. But, you know, the thing is that, as I've been saying for years, this is another sad deal that reflects directly on the Alaska Republican Party leadership, and that is specifically Randy Rudrick. And it's a very sad day, but there's going to be a lot more coming. Just think of the information that Jim Clark and Bill Allen are jointly providing on the last Alaska administration and the leadership there. And I guarantee you, Jim Clark is doing everything he can to save himself, just as Bill Allen is. These guys are not young men.